This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, Hart, want to touch the hiney?
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo here.
It's a little old school, Fred.
Yes, yeah, a little old school. Andy's at home with a sick kid. I thought that's what wives were for, but apparently in his house, that's not what wives are for.
You know how that goes, Fred.
Yeah. And Tom's blood sugar is off the chart today, so I don't know if it has anything to do with him swigging down Jack Daniels during the show yesterday, but I suspect it
does. I'm sure Tom appreciates the fact that you know, give out his medical details.
That's all right. He doesn't mind. And so, but he sent in his picks. Andy hasn't, but we'll do the picks later on today. The leg will be here.
The leg will be back after practice, I would
The leg
imagine.
Will be back. So another edition of PFW in Progress, getting ready for this game Saturday night in the Meadowlands. And the big news came late yesterday afternoon. Paul was actually on WEEI at the time, and it came across the wire that this is being treated like a presidential address.
Bill said the same thing. It's like the State of the Union.
I was shocked. I was getting in my car to go to Bass Pro, and I had the radio on listening to you. And all of a sudden, you guys started talking about this. I couldn't believe it. This is unprecedented. I guess back in the day, one of the Super Bowls was simulcast.
Well, that I knew, yeah.
On two stations.
Two networks. This will be three. Unprecedented three.
Three. I, you know, why not Fox? Get them all in.
We were talking about that earlier, Fred. I don't know. Did you say that they didn't approach the NFL?
Well,
and CBS and ABC did.
Apparently,
and now Fox maybe is wondering why they were left out.
Right. Right, they're wondering why there's a lot of issues here that we got to talk about. But in case anyone just woke up, there was the problem that this game was just going to be on NFL Network locally. Channel 5 would have it, but that's it. And that local was defined to just the area around Gillette Stadium, within 75 miles or whatever it is. So people in Rhode Island, people in New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont weren't going to be able to see this unless they had the NFL Network. Because of all the problems, most people don't.
Right.
Now, it was announced yesterday that in addition to Channel 5 locally and the NFL Network, CBS and NBC will broadcast this game nationally. So this is unprecedented. And, you know, the NFL came out with their statement that they thought it was in the best interest of the fans and all that stuff. But we know that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah, so but in the Boston area, you know, the area is directly, you know, around Gillette Stadium, you're going to have four different channels to choose from.
Right. Now, that doesn't make Channel 5 happy.
No.
Because all along, they were billing this as, you know, the only place, if you don't have NFL Network, to see the game. They've sold ad spots along those lines. So now they're upset. And from what I understand, someone told me just now in the locker room who's in the TV business that the lawyers are going to court today.
For Channel 5?
Channel 5, lawyers.
To get it off the two affiliates.
To keep their exclusivity,
right?
In
yeah.
the local
and
market.
And I would agree with that. Look, we talked a little bit when I first got in. We talked off the air, Fred. And I want to be careful with this one because I think it's a great thing for the fans.
Right.
And I think bottom line, that, you know, in the long run, that's a good thing. But I don't necessarily think this is the right thing to do in general because I look at, you know, if you're a subscriber to NFL Network, why'd you bother? This is the reason why, ostensibly, you got the channel in the first place, so you could watch games. And all of a sudden, the biggest game comes up, and you say, well, we'll just let everybody watch
it. Well, what about the people who not just bought it on Comcast or whatever, but want to DirecTV?
Sure. That's what I'm talking about. Anybody who paid money
right.
with any for any reason whatsoever to get the NFL Network is kind of looking at it now and saying, why did I bother?
Right.
And, you know, again, I don't want to make it – this is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing the NFL did. It's a good thing. People are going to get to watch the game. But I understand the point of view from people who might say, why did I bother purchasing your product when you were just going to give it out when it got to the good stuff anyway? Right. It'd be like buying HBO, and then you want to watch The Sopranos, and then all of a sudden the finale comes out,
right.
and they put it on regular TV for everybody to watch because right. it's this great event.
Right.
Well, I got your channel so I could watch the show.
Right, right. Well, I think NFL will say to that, well, you've been enjoying the NFL broadcasts up to now.
Hey, you know what?
We've got a lot
not
of stuff
that great.
After now. Yeah.
That's what I would counter with.
Right. That's a matter of opinion. And stuff in the future. So hopefully we're going to give you stuff on this channel that's going to make it worth your while. You know, thank you for playing. You know, other than that, what else can they say? Because you're right. If all you did was buy it for the game, now you didn't have to. So there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily happy. But I think for the majority of fans, this is a good thing. People in Maine, people in Vermont.
Yeah, and that's what I want to stress.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is all the Patriots fans that don't have access to NFL Network will now have access to the game, and that's a good thing.
Beyond that, I think, you know, despite what the NFL says, yeah, I think they did have the fans in mind somewhat, but I also think they had in mind the threats that some of these senators were talking about, you know, the fact that they're exempt from all the monopoly laws in the United States, and that allows them to treat their employees a different way
yep.
than the normal company. And you know, if that was being threatened, they can't. They don't want to deal with that. So, but what does this do for the future? Who knows? You know, the NFL now has lost a little bit of leverage because you know when crunch time came, they had to back
they
down.
Caved.
They had to back down. And the cable companies, you know, got their way. So,
and then what's to stop them the next time? They can say this is an unprecedented one-time thing.
Right. Right.
You know, who's going to –
Right.
You know, what happens the next time there's a big game? And let's face it. You know who really should be up in arms about this?
Who's that?
Jerry Jones.
Yeah, because they didn't do it for him.
And that was a bigger game.
Yeah.
You know, this is a more historic game. But that was a bigger game.
But Green Bay, Dallas, that was the two top teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, this game is going to be historic for you know, for the record books and things like that. But in terms of the game, the impact of the game, Dallas, Green Bay was more important.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of money issues involved with this that, you know, we won't bore everyone with. And frankly, I'm not.
I'm not privy to those numbers.
I just don't know all the facts anyway. And I, you know, who gets the advertising? Who gets to sell what?
Well, that's what Channel 5 is upset about. I'm sure that they sold their ads at a certain rate because they had the exclusivity and
right.
blah, 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 blah. And now
right. – Here's the funny thing.
Because there are some local – we should probably talk about that. There are some local ads that are involved. It's going to be the NFL Network broadcast on all the channels.
Right.
But – you know, inside that, I'm
local
not sure.
Spots.
Yeah. And I think that's like at the, you know, on the half hours and
right.
stuff like that.
You can always tell
hours.
The difference between the national spots and the local
right.
spots. All of a sudden, the sound is worse. You know, anyway, so there's all kinds of stuff they have to work out. But the thing I was thinking of that's kind of funny is because this is going to be the NFL broadcast, no matter what station you're watching it on, you're going to be hearing Gumbel.
Brian Gumbel,
you know,
on four networks.
I think, you know, the hardcore fans that have had NFL Network that have been listening to him.
This appears
and
to be a simulcast.
Yeah, complaining about it. Now the rest of the NFL community is going to hear this. It'll be interesting to see what they think about this because, you know, he hasn't been exactly.
He's not a great play-by-play
no,
guy. I mean, he's a great broadcaster. He's not a great play-by-play
He doesn't bring
guy.
Excitement to it. You know, I
think he's too cerebral. I think he thinks he's above it.
And I don't think he does his homework.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that.
And I think that's the biggest thing.
Missing names and
yeah,
you know, I don't think he knows the game all that well in general. Even if he knew all the names, it seems to me
Yeah.
You know, it's like our you know, and a lot of our listeners have been pointing him out too. Like when he says that, you know, it appears to be a first down and you're looking and it's like 12 yards beyond the line. You know, how do you not know that? How do you not see?
He's a little bit pompous.
A little bit.
You know, so it'll be interesting now that the all
it makes
of,
Jim Nance seem humble.
Before we get into emails, give out the email address, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I was on ESPN.com on their page 2.
Yes.
And they had a poll. How do you feel about the Patriots? And there were four selections you could do. The first selection was, I'm a Pats fan and want them to go 19-0. I don't mind. This is the second selection. I don't mind the Pats and want them to go 19-0. The third is, I hate the Pats but would like to see a 19-0 team. And the final one is, I hate the Pats and want them to go down hard. Which one do you think is leading of all these?
I don't know. I guess the go down hard.
Well, yeah, 27,585 people have voted so far. 39% want the final one. They want them to go down hard. But I think surprisingly, second and at 33% is, I'm a Pats fan and want them to go 19-0.
Are you talking to the mic?
Okay. Is my mic working, by the way?
Yes, it's working fine when you actually talk into it.
I'm looking at two different things. But anyway, so 33% is, I'm a Pats fan, want them to go 19-0. 20% is, I don't mind the Pats and want them to go 19-0. And 5% is, I hate the Pats but would like to see a 19-0 team. So if you add those two together, the two hates, it's only 44%. So maybe you guys are right. Maybe people will watch the Super Bowl if the Patriots win.
Okay. That's a classic. So anyway, Bill started his press conference today by talking about, you know, all the channels the game's going to be on, and he compared it to the State of the Union address. And,
yeah.
You know, they were talking, and someone asked him, you know, well, how do you feel about that? And, you know, like, I don't know why you would ask the coach how he feels about which network the game is going to be broadcast on. But anyway, you know, he goes, well, it doesn't really concern us. And he says, I'm not planning on watching
it. I'm not watching it. You know, the other thing I was thinking of that made this an opportunity for CBS and NBC is the whole writer's strike. There's really nothing on anyway.
Yeah.
You know? Game.
And I was talking to Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe about that, and not about the strike, but about, you know, the whole situation. And he said, you know, how do fans of the other shows that are going to be preempted now? And, you know, and I was like, well, that's a good point. And then I was thinking, well, there really isn't anything on right now.
No, there isn't any. It's a Saturday night. That's not a big TV night. You know, so I think Fox should join in. You know, have Fox show it.
As I said on my 5 points, Freddie, you know, doing the Patriots today, you know, just sit down, click on your TV, any channel you want. C-SPAN just picked it up, I think.
I think it's great. We've taken over TV. It's
now, like, now you don't even just have your own tab on the ESPN scroll with Patriots. Now you have your own network. It's
well, remember
all of them.
Back in, you ever watch the old Batman series that was on TV?
Powell.
Remember, like, you know, the villain would come in and he'd take over the TV stations and he'd issue a message to Gotham City.
Yeah.
That's what the Patriots have done. We've taken over your TV set and we will own it. So, but I'm watching NFL Network last night and it was all Patriots all the time.
Well, the whole week, there's over 50-something hours of Patriots.
65 and a half.
They replayed the Colts-Patriots game, which is great. I love watching that.
That's a great game. I've watched that game twice, too.
And
that's
it was
a great
two
game.
2.5 hours. It wasn't like their usual hour and a half one.
They do it right.
Yeah, and they redid that whole thing, and the whole all-access is all about the Patriots now. And if I wasn't a Patriots fan, I'd be hating it. I would be really pissed.
But, you know, they know that, too. But they know that you can't stop watching.
Yeah.
It's history. I mean, you have to do it. And I think it's been remarkable how NFL Network has really jumped on. They did it, you know, with that Colts game, you know, leading up to that Colts game, too. Remember, that was all wall-to-wall Patriots coverage.
So, pretty good stuff. Bill Belichick in his press conference, as you said today, you know, wasn't really talking about 16-0, but Tom Brady was yesterday. He mentioned
something, you know, I think that people are kind of making it out to be a little bit more than it was, but he basically just said that, you know, it's a historical thing, and it's something that we would cherish and certainly a striving toward. I mean, is that really all that? Just because he actually did mention 16-0, was that big of a deal? Because you guys are right. I mean, I'm hearing the national reaction and even the local reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, they talked about
they're
it.
Finally talked.
They finally finally figured out that they were 15-0. I mean, well, they never really said that we're not 15-0.
Right.
It's not like they ignored it.
Right. Well, they all
said, focus on the task at hand. Right now, the task at hand is the 16th game.
Right. All along, they've said things like, well, we're 13-0, and it's a great place to be.
Exactly.
And, you know.
How many times has Randy Moss said, as long as that zero stays in the right-hand column, I'm happy?
Right. Right.
So they've acknowledged it. I just think they're making too much of it. But,
well, you know, that's what they do. That's what the media does.
That is.
They have to.
You're right.
You know, what little the Patriots give you, you have to go with it, you know. So other news. Locker room today, I stopped in for a moment just to see.
The locker room has been absolutely brutal all of a sudden.
As far as access.
Well, it's not that people are saying no. There's just not really a lot of people around.
Right.
And the ones that are around are generally playing dominoes, and you can't really talk to them then. There were a few. Rodney spoke again. He's spoken both days, Wednesday and Thursday. Teddy Bruschi had a group around him. Junior Seau had a group around him. I'm not sure who else spoke. I think Kevin Falk may have talked for a little while today.
Heath Evans didn't talk?
I didn't see anybody around Heath Evans. Minnie Gary, who
Matt Light
spoke
today?
Matt Light also spoke today.
Okay.
So there was some sound, probably a little bit better than yesterday overall, but still kind of quiet in there.
Moss, though, he just has a grand time in there.
Not too many people have as much fun in this locker room as Matt Light. As Randy Moss.
He's just ripping it up. And he goes from group to group and just rips it up.
No one's you know, exempt from his wrath.
Right.
Because he's always on somebody in terms of teasing and the butt of someone's joke. He's always on somebody. And no one's beyond reproach. He gets everybody.
It's pretty incredible. All right, so webradio at patriots.com is the email address, webradio at patriots.com.
It's going to be a tough one, Fred. This is like old school, going back. We don't have any banter, you know, we don't have any Andy ridiculousness to fall back on.
We don't
have Tom telling us how little we know about football.
Right, we'll do the picks later. Tom has emailed in his picks, so we have his. Andy, of course, didn't because he couldn't be bothered. But I think one of the reasons Tom didn't come in is because I now have an insurmountable lead, as you put it, on the number him.
I don't know if it's insurmountable, but it would be a colossal chill.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
If you blow this lead, I believe you're up by four games. If you blow that
That's not insurmountable.
If you blow that lead in 1 week, you really
are we going to keep going into the playoffs?
Or is that let's separate? See here. Yeah, four-game lead you have.
Four-game lead. Okay.
You're two games behind me.
The tout's not such a tout, after all.
Evidently not.
I think he doesn't listen to his gut enough. All right, on the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. Is this Fred?
It is.
You're the man I'm looking for.
Uh-oh.
I just have a question for you, Fred.
Yes.
I was just listening to the podcast, and I just, you know, there's questions in life that you sometimes have, as in, you know, what happens in the end and everything else like that, and I just need to know, is this a gimmick, or do you just, you kind of think like that, as in with the whole Chick-fil-A thing?
What happened when I left yesterday?
Well, I was wondering about, you know, the whole cow theme in the Chick-fil-A.
Do you really not get it?
I'm only kidding, Anthony.
What's that?
It's just a joke.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. I didn't know if it was a gimmick. I thought you were actually serious.
There are a lot of things I don't understand, though.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. It's one of those things. I just wanted to know if I had to, like, stick with it, and it was just a gimmick. That's all.
All right.
How you doing, guys?
I'm doing good.
Excellent.
What's wrong with your phone?
Oh, is my phone? Is the reception bad?
Yeah, you kind of sound like you're talking underwater.
All right. I won't waste any more time, then. See you later.
Okay.
It does sound like he's underwater.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something wrong with his cell phone.
Though. I don't know. Sometimes you get into one of those weird zones and you're not getting all the bars. Minnie Gary, you know all about that? What do you got on? Your Boston University sweatshirt?
He does.
Wow. Proud.
Yeah,
proudly.
He is proud of it, too.
Now, why don't you like BU?
It's not that good.
You went there.
I know.
Four of your best years were spent at that university.
Four of my years were spent there.
Oh, wow.
I'm still hoping that my best ones just haven't happened yet.
Well, why don't you go get a master's somewhere, and then you can
say... No, I enjoyed my time at BU.
Did you?
I did.
So, but you have nothing but bad things to say.
A lot of very, very
it.
Good friends that I would anticipate having the rest of my life.
Brian Morey?
He wouldn't really be one of them. No, I was friends with Brian at BU and all the other guys I played baseball with. It was a good time, Fred.
Yeah.
Good time.
Okay.
That is so gay.
All right. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. What else, Paul? What else should we talk about before we get to emails?
How about Bill Belichick's Sports Illustrated cover? Did you talk about that at all yesterday?
I didn't.
You know, his in
being,
Santa Claus
Santa
outfit.
Claus. He mentioned that today.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And he said, you know, there were a lot worse things to be associated with than Santa Claus. So he had no problem with that. But he even joked, he said, you know, as a kid, you know, you dream someday of being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And I never imagined that I would be.
This isn't the
like
first
that.
Time he's been on the cover, though.
I don't think so. I don't know if it was just him like that. I don't know if that it might be the first time. I don't know.
Giving it a second try is Anthony at Naples.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, that's much better.
Much better? Yeah, sorry about that. I have no clue how much you heard or anything else like that. You guys were actually, you sounded like you were underwater, too.
Did you get out of the pool?
Yeah, I got out of the pool.
Okay.
I'm over here in Marco Island, actually, so it's a little bit spread out with the reception.
Marco Island, very nice place, I understand.
Yeah, these are actually where all my customers are, so got to cater to them down here.
All right.
Did you guys thank Anthony yesterday?
You know, I was kind of wanted to... pretty much just asked the question about Roosevelt Covlin because, you know, there's nothing else to talk about, obviously, you know, with the undefeated season and everything else like that. Kind of, I'm a little worried about the linebacker position, what's going to go on. Possibly he could be, a cap casualty. Is that correct? Because I guess he has a big number.
Well, I don't think he'll get cut outright. I think that they'll try to lower that number.
Okay.
Unless, I mean, if he wants to play hardball or something, then, you know, maybe he could be gone. But I don't think that he'll play at that high of a cap. I think his cap number is somewhere over $8 million next year, and I don't think he'll play for that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to, like, figure out, like, get the feeling from it. You know, because, honestly, you know, if he has a huge cap number, I don't think his performance the last couple of seasons really, like, you know, validated him carrying that number.
Right,
you know?
And he won't play in that. I can virtually guarantee he won't be on the books for that amount of money. Now, it might not be a pay cut. It might just be moving money around and restructuring a little bit to make the cap number more palatable. But I would be very surprised if, and I think the numbers that people are throwing out there are somewhere around eight plus million on the cap. I don't think that he'll play for that high of a cap number.
Okay, yeah, hopefully. I just get the feeling like, you know, the way you guys talk about him a little bit, he's busy with that UPS stuff, you know, and he's actually promoted that on the radio a couple of times. It almost seems like he's, I'm not saying he's going to be selfish, but, you know, he's not one of those guys that gives me the impression that he's going to take a hometown discount, you know, like a Teddy Bruschi will. You know, that's just
the feeling I get. I don't know about that. I don't think that he's going to need to take any discounts. I think he's probably just going to need to move money around.
Okay.
But I don't see anything in his personality that would lead me to believe that he doesn't like it here or whatever. And I think he enjoys his time here. And I think if the Patriots still want him, that's to me the question isn't about what Colvin wants; it's about what the Patriots want. I think if they still want him around and they want to keep him, they will.
Okay, so they'll make the move and hopefully keep him. That's what I hope. You know.
Yeah. Great. No,
we're not strong at linebacker. You know.
I will say, Anthony. You know, his injury at the time, I think we all kind of downplayed it because we didn't think it was that big a deal. I think it has proven to be a little bit bigger of a deal than we thought. Not that it's been a major problem, because it hasn't, but I think that you've seen that his absence has shown up a little bit in terms of how much, you know, the inside guys have had to play and move around and Thomas being on the outside. I think there's been some inconsistency. Now, I think the last week the defense played very well. You know, and recently the defense in the red zone has been outstanding, and I think that's been the key to keeping the points down. And, oh, by the way, Fred, I don't know if you've noticed, but Patriots are now tied for the fewest points allowed.
Oh, is it tied?
Yeah,
I thought they were second.
With Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
And just another question. Do you think, you know, like the original injury with his hip, you know, like the broken hip.
Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of like put him, like, let's say the Patriots were, you know, expecting like 100% when they, you know, signed him as a free agent. Do you think the last couple of years he's really only been playing maybe at 80% because of that injury, and he's really, because it's a, such a severe injury, he's been having to come back from it?
It could be, you know.
Yeah, I think it, I don't, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but I think it's hurt him. Yeah, I don't think he's as good a player as he was when he got here.
Okay, cool.
But Anthony,
all right, have a good one, guys.
Hold on, Anthony. Hold on for a second. The real question,
Anthony,
is, if Chick-fil-A is so good and everyone's eating all the chicken, shouldn't the chickens be telling people to eat more, you know, cows?
Fred, is this you?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Look at the commercial. Any five-year-old can tell that the cows are promoting the chicken, so obviously the cows don't get killed. They want everybody to eat more chicken.
But they're not going to get killed because it's a chicken place.
No, if everybody converts, because, like, obviously America is a fast food diet, as in eating hamburgers. Now, if everybody converts over to Chick-fil-A, there will be less cows killed.
Okay.
You get it?
Right, it's a chicken restaurant.
You
they
get
want
it now?
Them
I know, but
chicken.
If I was the chickens, I'd be on TV saying, go eat the cows.
So you're saying for the other side, as in maybe a McDonald's or a Burger King, they should have chickens promoting that, but also they sell chicken sandwiches, so they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
See, Chick-fil-A, I don't know if you've been to one.
I've never
Chick-fil-A
been to a Chick-fil-A, no.
It's all chicken, that's it.
There's no meat, there's no beef at all.
There's no beef, nothing. It's just chicken.
It's
that's why
chicken.
They call it Chick-fil-A.
Well, I don't know, because now as a consumer I'm saying, okay, what am I missing here? If the cows are telling me not to eat them, maybe I should be.
All right, Fred, I've had enough.
Okay, Anthony, thank you.
Take it easy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You're unbelievable.
All right, that's Anthony from Naples. Web radio at patriots.com. Joker writes in. He says, hey, guys, and Eric, during one of your breaks, I could clearly hear the voice guy say, tune in to PFW in Progress for inside football talk and a little bit of humor. I'm certain he is supposed to say, tune in to PFW Progress for inside humor and a little bit of football. I'm happy CBS and NBC gets to show the game Saturday. First of all, channelsurfing.net won't get overlooked like it did for the Packers-Cowboys game, and the CBS stream has much better audio and video quality compared to the NFL Network. I thought I'd elaborate on however I might be this time, and I'll put it in terms you can relate to. During games, I can be all out patriot. During games, I can be all out pro patriots like Fred. I'm as smart as Paul thinks he is. I'm diabetic like Tom. I've got a big head like Andy. Paul is right. As I've said above, like Gary, I too have a mini Gary. What is this? I had a fake girlfriend once like Eric, but I wasn't 35. I was 15, and she wasn't made up. She was blown up. I never stopped by just like Lori. So that's,
okay.
I don't know.
Boring!
Wow. Okay. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Mini Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PSW in progress. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa says, Fred, you are a freaking idiot. Even my 10-year-old understands the cows in the Chick-fil-A commercial.
I have to agree with Andy in Sioux City, Fred.
Okay. Well, he also says, is it possible that the Patriots are setting teams up for the playoffs by concentrating in forcing the ball to Moss so teams will pay extra attention to him, and then come playoffs, they may throw to him very little as the coverage concentrates on him?
Does anybody think that would be a smart idea to not throw the ball to Moss a lot in the playoffs?
Right.
I mean, in all seriousness, I'm not trying to be, you know, as the previous emailer before Andy, I'm smarter than everybody, but I don't have to be all that smart to know that Randy Moss is pretty good, right?
But would it be smart to force it into him?
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying, yes. Would it be smart to use him as a decoy and not use him in the playoffs that much?
No.
So, like, can't we just say that sometimes this year, Tom Brady may have been guilty of forcing the ball a little bit to Moss because he's that good?
Well, I was watching that that Colts game, and you know that drive that Falk ended
straight
up scoring
passes.
On. Yeah,
yes, that's why we say it. This isn't just about the records. This isn't just about the Miami second half. This has happened periodically throughout the year. Most of the time, he's gotten away with it, and not only he's gotten away with it without getting picked off, but Moss has made him look great. By bringing, you know, some tough passes down, I mean, that probably shouldn't have been thrown.
Even over the middle, and not just the downfield passes, but he's such a tall target.
Yeah.
You know, when you include his wingspan,
he's
really
so good.
Once he has that step, he should catch every ball.
Right.
You know?
Now, I would expect, I'm going to be surprised if we're seeing multiple examples in the playoffs of what we saw in the second half Sunday, where Brady is throwing it to Moss 70 yards downfield regardless of coverage. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, I think that Tom's smart enough to know you got to do a little bit better job protecting the football and whatnot, and he's going to have Welker available. He's going to have Stallworth. He's going to have Gaffney. Probably even going to have Watson. You know, I would assume those guys would be healthy by then. And, you know, he's going to have all his weapons at his arsenal. I don't think that he'll be forcing it as much to Moss, but Moss is going to get his fair share of catches, and they're going to try to get him the ball his fair share of times. Teams are going to double team him. They're going to do whatever they can to take him away, because you're foolish if you don't.
All right. Now, of course, the big news coming out of last night was the fact that the Patriots are going to be simulcast on NFL Network, CBS, NBC, and locally here, also Channel 5. So we
Lifetime, C-SPAN.
Lifetime, the O Channel.
The Golf Channel.
Yeah, everywhere. Even the tennis channels doing football. But, you know, according to John from Salem, there is a downside of nationwide viewing. And this is what he says. This started out as a game that was more than likely going to see the Giants rest their starters. The game doesn't mean much to them. But now it's on every channel. It's getting hyped as historic. So now the Giants have a responsibility to make a game of it. Now, from a sportsmanship angle, you want to see a game and not a cakewalk. But as a Pats fan, I don't want any Giants players going for broke and trying to hurt our guys. The reality, however, is that the Pats are a much better team and should beat them soundly. I just hope we see not only the 16-0, but Brady beating the other Manning's record, Moss getting his record, Welker getting his record, and the rest of the country can hate us all they want. Get ready for greatness. One more thing. Does anyone know a reason why Starworth is no longer being used? So, first things first, do you think this affects Tom Coughlin's
First of all, no. I think he's going to do what's in the best interest of the Giants, just like Belichick's going to do what's in the best interest of the Patriots. I think they're cut from the same cloth. I think they have the same kind of philosophies in terms of that stuff. They both were together on a staff under Parcells, and I think that's where they got a lot of their ideologies in terms of that
right.
kind of stuff,
right.
managing your team.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking about X's and O's and things like that. I'm talking about managing your personnel. If the Giants starters play, I don't know why that – put your players in jeopardy. I don't want them going for broke and trying to hurt our players. Why are those two things,
right.
you know, mutually, you know, to me that I don't know why trying hard puts your players at jeopardy, you know, at risk. I don't,
right.
I don't really see that correlation. I don't think that the Giant stars are going to play any more than they would have before this simulcast decision was made. If Coughlin was going to play them, he's going to play them. He's talking like he's going to play them at least a little bit. I'll reserve judgment. I would think that they're going to play, roughly a half or so. I don't think they're going to play too much. Do you?
No, I think like you said, I think they'll start. I think you'll see, both teams start the starters, and then the question is how long they play. I think the Patriots starters will stay in longer than the Giants starters.
Yeah, and the last thing, the Stallworth thing, he has been quiet. It was funny last game. He had a couple of catches right away. And then I don't think they went to him very often after that. But I don't think they went to really anybody very often other day except for Randy Moss.
No.
But no question, Stallworth has definitely seen his role decrease over the last month or so. His production anyway. I shouldn't say his role. His production has gone down as Gaffney's has gone up. I don't know if there's been a passing of the torch there.
Yeah.
I don't think Gaffney is playing the same spot that Stallworth usually plays.
And Stallworth, he dropped one ball. I think
not because of performance.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great.
Yeah,
I mean, he gets the ball, a lot of yards after catch. He's
been fine.
Down.
Gaffney's been fine.
Yeah.
I have no problems with their receivers are very, very good.
I mean,
and I have no problems
the season,
with them throwing the ball to any of them.
At the beginning of the season, Stallworth wasn't being looked at a lot. And then he came on, and now he's back to kind of where it was.
Yeah, you're right,
Fred.
The first two, three, four games, he was very quiet. Then he went through like a four or five game stretch where he was really active, and now it's back to not really being.
So we'll see. Artie in Keene, New Hampshire, Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you. Is there any chance that they will get a better play-by-play person for this game? There are no other games on at the same time, so I was just kind of hoping for someone who was a little better than Gumbel. You know, it'd be interesting. If you were the NFL Network and NBC came to you and said, hey, you know what, for this game, we'll give you Al Michaels and John Madden, would you take them up on it?
No.
No.
You can't. Can you? I mean, do you think?
I mean,
I know it's a hypothetical that couldn't happen, but if you're an NFL Network, you hired a guy.
Right.
You can't do that, can you?
I don't know.
I don't think you can do that.
We've seen that they can really do anything they want to do. You know? That would be a slap in the face. Huh?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the logistics of it. I'm saying, how can you do that to an employee?
Well, this employee started off by saying bad things about his employer. Remember when he first started, he was all he had all those negative things to say about I forget who it was Tagliabue or something. Oh no, Gene Upshaw.
Oh well,
and the NFL's role with the players and how it's a cartel and all that.
Well, but can't you if that was the reason you were going to get rid of him, you would have gotten rid of him by now.
Oh, you give him another chance. No.
That's obviously has nothing to do with why you're
I'm
getting
only
rid of him.
Kidding.
You're getting rid of him because he's a bad play-by-play guy. And that I would certainly support that decision. I just don't think you can do it now. Get away till after this game.
TG and NJ, now that everybody can watch the game, you got to figure that there will be a lot of people seeing the NFL Network for the first time. Think about it. They get to watch Bryant Gumbel. You got to figure people will be saying, this is what we've been missing. Could this hurt the NFL Network's case or help it? Just talking.
I don't think it's going to have any impact on their case at all because it's just a football game and people aren't even going to know it's the NFL Network.
Yeah.
It's going to be just like every other game you watch every Sunday and Monday night. Because I mean, the thing that's unique about NFL Network is not the games, it's the shows. It's Total Access.
Right.
It's you know all the analysis. I mean, you talked about in Mini Gary's, it's 65-plus hours of Patriots coverage this week. That's what you're missing.
Right.
You're not going to get any of that. No. They have a six-hour pregame show for that game.
Right.
None of that's going to be on
right.
the simulcast. Only the game is.
As much as I hate to do it, Fred is right. Arthur's in Hoboken is a good place. Great burgers, coleslaw. Make sure you're hungry. The portions are huge. We really should go there.
I have no problems if you want to go there. I do have to check. There is a friend of mine who sent me an email a couple of weeks ago. I just want to make sure that if she's planning on doing something that night.
She?
Oh, yeah, a good friend of mine.
Wow. Your wife know about this?
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
Really?
Good friend.
Really?
Good
How
friend.
Good?
Very good friend.
You have a past?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, see, now that, boy, I just wouldn't do that. David,
we can get back to that.
How do you feel about Paul going out with another woman? Dave.
Dave
David Storrs. No?
Good job, Mini Gary.
He hung up. How long was he waiting?
What are you there? Eating over there? I'm starving.
Potato chips.
How long was he waiting?
2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Maybe his cell phone cut out. He calls all the time. He's
he
a good caller. He'll call back. I wouldn't exactly characterize it as I'm going out with another woman, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chick-fil-A.
TG and NJ also says, if Andy wants TVs, try Reds. It's a true Jersey local, close to the stadium. Might not be fancy enough for Fred, though. Went there before the Sunday night Eagles-Giants game back in September. They had all the afternoon games on several TVs throughout the bar. They also had a shuttle bus that drops you off close to the stadium. I was told that Eagles production crew usually books the banquet hall on the second floor where they can come down when they come to town to play the Giants. I'm not from Jersey, so I'm sure there is another listener with some other ideas that could work. I'm lucky enough to be going to the game as well. We are expecting a large Patriot crowd. Heard Giants fans were selling tickets on the $1,000 range. Is this true?
Yes, it is. But isn't that TG and NJ?
TG and NJ.
And then you said he's not from Jersey?
He's not from there. He's just transplanted.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, the place near the stadium, though, that might not work for us because we're not really that close to the stadium.
Well, we are pretty close.
Well, it's not that far, but I don't want to get in a cab and drive a half hour.
Well, you're going to do that to go to Hoboken.
Yeah, but that's for a specific
Arthur's.
Meal
yeah.
if we do that.
We should go
and
to
then, and then actually, I you'll pay anyway, so I don't really care
what?
How much the – what? What? What did I – what?
Believe
Thanks,
me.
Fred.
I got no money left after Christmas.
Well, you got to stay out of Bass Pro Shops. That's why.
Speaking of Christmas, I got a chainsaw. And Doug from Blackstone says, Freddie, you said that you got a new chainsaw, but you didn't say what kind. Many come with an anti-kickback blade, but some don't. Unless you're doing it for a living or entering a lumberjack competition, get the anti-kickback. My saws are still, and they come with one. Either way, be careful. Mine's an Echo, and it has one.
By the way.
Yeah.
Didn't he say not to read that on the air?
Oh, no. He said, that's all right. Oh, not for air. That's all right. Now about your hat. You're driving around in a caddy with a fedora. You've crossed over to Pimpville. We lost you, Freddie.
So, go.
So I'm going to be...
David Storrs back on the line, I think.
David Storrs is back on the line. Is David Storrs back on the line? Yeah, see you. Dave, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Dave.
Bad signal. Sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay.
So, what do you guys think about the next game? Last one on the schedule. I think it's interesting to see what Coughlin does and what he doesn't do because I don't know. I heard on NFL Network that Schefter said his job is not really on the line, but I got to think if he rests starters, people are going to criticize him, and if he doesn't rest starters, people are going to criticize him. It's kind of a tough situation.
Yeah, but it's all about what he does in the playoffs.
That's true.
You know, I think if they rest the starters or not, no matter what happens, I don't see how having any bearing on his job. If they beat the Patriots, that's great for them. But and then they go out and lose to Tampa Bay next week, I think he's out of a job.
Right.
You know, I think that's why I say he's got to do what's in the best interest of his team, like Bill always talks about here. They need to get prepared for the postseason. I'm sure their guys, and I heard Adam Schefter this morning talking about this, and I agreed with him. I'm sure that his quality control guys are now well into Tampa Bay right now. They're not game planning New England or anything like that. They have an eye toward the playoffs, and that's what you have to do when you don't have a bye. You can't afford to waste too much time, and I would venture to say the Patriots are doing the same thing. They have two or three teams, obviously, that they're concerned with, so it's a little more challenging. But at the same time, this win isn't going to make or break Tom Coughlin, but a potential playoff run could.
Okay. And
I mean, how do you feel about it, Dave?
I feel like Coughlin is in a situation where I think he's opening himself up to criticism because it's just, you know, if you let a team go 16-0, and then I guess it depends on if they play their starters or not, because they play their starters and they lose, it might be a little demoralizing to them. And then also you have Coughlin, you know, you let them go 16-0 if he didn't start the starters. So
I know, but Dave, I think Paul's right. I think it doesn't really matter what he does this game. It only matters what he does in the playoffs. No matter what he does in this game, if he doesn't win in the playoffs, people are going to say it's because of what he did in this game. There's people lined up on both sides of this argument ready to attack him. So he the only way he can win is if he wins.
Ah, yep, I see. And the only other question I have is I heard on NFL Network that I think Rod Woodson, maybe one of those guys, they said now you see the Patriots, you know, they were showing their rushing stats, and we talked about how they were deceptive all year, their team rushing stats. But they said they were building a running game going into the playoffs. Do you think it was more of a product of Miami being 32nd, or do you think Maroney's actually found his groove, so to speak?
It's hard to find your groove only having 14 carries in a game. But I think a lot of that was, you know, they caught up Miami in a couple plays where they were selling out and he had big runs. However, I think he's run well. But, you know, to say after all this season that in two games they've now established their running game, I think it's a stretch. I think, you know, you have to, you know, you can use these numbers to prove any point, but you got to use your eyes. They're still a passing team. Do I want them to run the ball more? Yeah, I do personally.
I don't.
I know Paul doesn't, and I want Maroney to do well. I want him to be the answer. But I have to be honest with what's gone on so far.
Yeah.
They haven't established that yet.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me, and I'll see you guys later.
All right, Dave. Thanks.
All right, Dave from Stores.
No, I agree with you, Fred, because I think that the numbers could indicate anything you really want them to indicate. But the bottom line is this. And that you can't necessarily tell me that you face 32 and 31 in rushing defense and you put up 100-yard games, okay, it's all fixed. I think they're a
right.
game plan team, and this is why I say I don't necessarily want them to run more. The Patriots do what Bill thinks is gives them the best chance to win in that particular game. Against those teams, that was part of what gave them the best chance to win. I thought that, like I said yesterday, I thought in the second half – against Miami last Sunday, he ran really well. Now, he had the two big runs in the first half that I think virtually any running back in the league could have done because he had huge holes and he just ran through them. But in the second half, I thought he was running hard, decisively. He was had a little bit of that chip back with that we saw at the beginning of his rookie year where he was, you know, kind of delivering some punishment at the end, you know, doing some stiff arms and really delivering a blow and making it difficult to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
To tackle him. So I think that's encouraging. I think that it's, let's put it this way. I'm a lot more encouraged that he had two productive games against two bad rush defenses than I would be if he had two,
you know,
mediocre games.
To me, everything points to the Colts. And I watched that Colts game again last night. And, you know, Maroney ran really well in that game in the first half. He was running well. And it really didn't add up to a lot of points for the Patriots. But I think the Patriots have to run well in order to keep the heat off Brady. You got to have that balance against a good team like the Colts, or else they're just going to send guys. They're going to send Robert Mathis on every play.
Yeah, they might. I mean, I think the key to that game, and it's funny because, you know, we have a regular season game, we have a divisional playoff game, and, oh, by the way, the team that we're talking about also has to win a divisional playoff game before that game. But I think Colts-Patriots comes down to the plays of the offensive line. Because yeah. I think whatever quarterback gets the time to throw, the proper time to throw, has a big advantage. I don't think either running game is all that significant. I really don't. I think that Maroney and Adai are both capable of having nice games, but I don't think either team will win based on their ground game. You know, like in 2004, the Patriots won largely because Indianapolis just couldn't stop Corey Dillon. Do you remember that?
Right.
They just could not stop Corey Dillon. He was a man among boys that day. And that was largely the reason why the Patriots dominated an offense, and then obviously the Patriots defense completely shut down Manning. I don't see Adai and Maroney putting up 150-yard days with three touchdowns. They might get their yards. Either one of them might get some yards, but I don't see them putting up a lot of points on the board. You score by throwing the football, in my opinion, and I think whatever quarterback gets the most time, I think he'll find receivers that are open against these secondaries if they get the time.
I just think that just the way the Colts used Adai in that first half, if you have a running back out there, he's got to be a factor. Whether it's running the ball or catching the ball,
sure,
you've got to make people pay attention to him. You know, you can't.
I thought he had as good a half as you could have. Yet, how many points did Indy have at the half?
Well, they
10.
Missed. Yeah, but I don't think it was because of Adai, because they were selling out in the run. I mean, they screwed up in the red zone, you know, and then Vinatieri missed a field goal. You know, they screwed up their chances.
Well,
they got down there every time.
That's my point. You can't score that way. You need to score points.
Right.
That's my point.
Well,
all of these red zone touchdowns the Patriots have this year, everybody talks about how productive they've been on the ground in the red zone. They throw the ball every time. You know, they have plenty of rushing touchdowns, but they're all – what do they have more of? They throw the ball better than anybody.
But I just think that when you play the Colts, you got to have balance, or else they're going to sell out for the pass. And you know,
I agree. And that's why I think the onus is on the offensive line.
You know, it could be, but you can only block so many guys. So
they don't blitz a lot.
No,
They play Tampa too. They don't blitz a lot.
Clearly, in the Colts game, and you know, in that first half, they wanted to establish the run. They were running Maroney a lot.
I don't think he ran a lot.
Watch the game again.
I have. I've watched it twice.
They were mixing it up really well, and Maroney was getting good yardage.
They didn't get any points.
I'm just saying the game plan was to establish a balance. And, you know, I'm not going to question Bill Belichick's, you know, aptitude for game planning. He knew what he needed to do.
But what did he do in the second half? The total opposite.
Well,
so maybe he said that didn't work.
I mean, they still ran Falk. They ran him on draws, though.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
They didn't run the ball a lot that day, Fred.
Well, they did in the first half, you know.
All right.
You know, I just think you got to run the ball. I'm not saying you have to become a run-first team, but you got to make other teams pay attention to
your run. I would guess that if they played on January 20th or whatever it is, they will run the ball more often than they did in that Indianapolis game. On November 4th. My guess is that they would attempt more running plays than they did that time, the first time.
Rob in Brisbane, Australia. Merry Christmas to everyone. Hope it was a great holiday for everyone. It was.
Thank you, Rob.
I just wanted to get a couple quick thoughts on some things. Is Dungy making the same mistake he made in 2005 by giving nearly all his starters the last game off and resting them for 3 weeks?
Why is that a mistake?
Well, people said it was in 2005.
I know people say that was, but why was it a mistake? Can anybody give me some empirical evidence
rusty,
as to why that they lost?
They hadn't really played a lot.
Did they come out rusty or did they choke?
I don't know, but that's what people say.
I understand what people say, but no one says that about Andy Reid, who gave his team the whole month of December off the year before and then went to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
My point is, no matter what happens, you can't use the result as validating what you did. Does anybody think, for example,
what do you use?
Do you think if the Patriots didn't play any of their stars the last three games that they wouldn't win the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Do you think if they do play the last three games, they'll win the Super Bowl?
I mean, there's such an execution.
I'm asking your opinion. I'm not asking for a fact, because we can't have a fact in something that hasn't happened.
No, I my opinion.
In your opinion, if the Patriots starters don't play Saturday night, do you think they'll win in the playoffs?
I think that
in
they're
your
that
opinion,
good. Yes.
Ask me your opinion.
Yeah, I think they're that good that they would.
Right. But so it has nothing to do with Russ.
But you know, if the first team they were playing were the Colts, I think that they might lose it.
But you think they might lose it anyway, Fred.
I know, but
it's not going to have anything to do with Russ.
But I don't think it helps when you have such an execution,
right.
You know,
disagree.
Strict team that requires such precision that you don't play for 3 weeks. I don't think that that's a good thing. And I think that Brady and Belichick would tell you the same thing.
Well, I'll tell you, he's given them that time off in the past. Didn't seem to hurt him in 04 when they didn't play the second half against San Francisco. The
second half of a game is a lot different than
that's
3 weeks.
That's what they're doing. They play the first half and they sit out the second half. That's what Dungy's doing. That's what he did in 05.
Well, that's according to this email, that's not what he's saying.
Is what he's saying. That is what he did. The emailer is definitely on the majority here. I'm in the minority. I'm wrong.
Well,
everybody else thinks like the emailer
thinks. He's
going to
arrest 11 guys.
Right. That's what he did in 05. That's what the Patriots have done in the past.
Well, when you say rest, I think he's meaning they're not going to play.
They are going to play. Only the guys that are hurt aren't going to play. He said Manning will play a half. Okay. And that's what he did in 05.
Okay. And they lost.
Right. So why was that wrong then and it's,
they lost.
It's wrong now? Exactly. If they had won then, would that be the right way to do it?
So that's what he's asking.
It had nothing to do with rust, is my point.
Well, I don't know.
Nothing.
You don't know either.
It had nothing to do with rust.
How do you know that?
Because they didn't play up to their capabilities because it was a big game, and that's what the Indianapolis Colts do. They choke in big games.
But you don't know it had nothing to do with rust.
All I know is I saw the same thing happen in 04 when they were well rested. I mean, when they had to go balls to the wall at the end of the year, I misspoke. They had a play. They didn't have a bye. Saw the same thing happen in 04. So evidently they were tired in 04, and that cost them the playoffs, and they were too rested in 05.
So you feel
why don't the onus just go on the fact that they're a choking team, and they finally got over the hump last year?
So you feel,
why can't that be the reason?
So you feel that there never, ever should be a debate about resting or not resting?
I think exactly the way Bill Belichick thinks about this. There is no blueprint. It's what's in the
best interest of your team. Right.
And only you know that, and it's not the same every year. You know the state of your team's physical nature.
So it's a year by year. There's no
absolutely
philosophy.
I couldn't agree more with Bill Belichick on this. And I know that this is going to sound strange to you, but I honestly believe that. I've seen Bill rest guys. I've seen Bill play guys all the way through the fourth quarter.
Okay.
I don't think there's a right way and a wrong way. But my point is, I don't think that's the reason why you win or lose the next week.
If you do it the wrong way, then it is.
I've seen plenty of guys rest their team and not be affected by it. And I've seen plenty of guys rest their team and go out and crap the bed and lose.
In your opinion, if you don't get the right gauge on your team, then you can make a mistake in that decision.
In my opinion, no, you can't. But I'm just talking about the state of your team in terms of physical health. If they're not healthy, you rest them. If they are healthy, you play them.
Well, forget about
injuries. I don't care about what happens the next week.
Forget about injuries. I mean, I'm just talking about...
That's all I care about is the state of my team's physical health.
And if you misread that state, you can't...
How can you misread that? If a guy's got a bad ankle and he's limping around,
I'm not talking about injuries.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the only determining factor, and I think that's what Bill does.
I think, obviously, if a guy's injured and you have a chance to rest him and the game doesn't mean anything, you rest him.
But
I think that's a no-brainer.
I think that's how Bill handles it, and I agree with him. I think that's the way to do it.
But I think Bill would also say that sometimes you play guys, even if they're healthy, longer than other coaches might.
No, I haven't seen that. I saw them take guys out, like I said,
I don't know why this is such a big debate among teams then. It always seems to be.
I'll state again, Fred. I am wrong on this. I am in the vast minority. Everybody else thinks like you do and like the emailer does. I am alone on an island. I don't think it has one bit of difference to make what happens the following week.
I think
the Patriots are good.
I think keeping sharp has something to do
Your opinion.
Okay.
I don't think that going out – you're going to try to tell me they kept sharp against San Francisco when they went out and turned the ball over all
the
place?
So why do guys take batting practice every day in baseball?
Totally different. Totally different. Why you continue to pick on baseball is beyond me.
I'm not picking
on it. It's a totally different skill.
You got to keep up your skills. You got to keep up your repertoire.
No one is suggesting that you wouldn't continue to golf either, Fred. It's a one skill. It's a learned
motion. And this is a team
sport, that needs
so you got to keep playing as a team.
Oh. That's not the same thing. And I agree. If you're healthy, you play. If you don't, I mean, there's no reason for Tom Brady not to play.
Right.
As long as he's all right, I agree with that. And then when the game is in the second half, you give him a little bit of a break. You know, he's played 16 games. He rests. I think that's what you do.
Well, they'll rest next week. They don't have a game.
Will they come out of the game early this week or not?
Depends on the score.
Will they come out of the game early? Well, all right. It depends on the score. I will guarantee you that it won't matter what the score is.
It depends on the game.
Well, this might be different because of the 16-0.
Oh, I think
but
so, yeah.
In 04, when they were playing the San Francisco 49ers and the game was in doubt right up until the end of the game, they only won 21-7.
Right. Did they have a game the next week?
No.
Okay.
And they came out of the game early.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with how
they
much
came
rest.
Out in what, the end of the third quarter?
No, earlier than that.
I don't
and they only played as long as they did because they played so poorly in the first half.
Well, again, it's a game decision. It's not something you go into the game saying at the
my,
end, at
but my point
snaps,
is that, Fred,
coming out.
My point is that it has nothing to do with rest or gauging, you know, we don't want to keep them rusty or this and that. They're looking to do whatever whatever it is that Bill decides is important, and we're not privy to that.
Right.
So I don't know what the game plan is. I don't know what he would like to see, but I'm sure like he said today, what aspects of the game can you think you can improve on, and what do you think he said?
Everything.
All of them.
Right.
And I think he's right.
All the more reason to keep playing.
There's things that we could be more consistent at.
You can't improve on them if you're sitting on
the
bench.
Things, and that's what I say that he does, and I think that's what Dungy does. He doesn't just have 27 guys like a preseason game in street clothes.
I think Dungy's a little different than Belichick.
Well, I don't really see any difference.
Okay, and the second thing Rob wants to know is, should anyone fear the Chargers and Steelers since combined they have only beaten four teams with winning records, Titans, Colts, Browns, Seattle? And lastly, is anyone taking notice of the fact that the Patriots defense has allowed only 239 points so far, the best in the league? Well, I think of those teams you just mentioned, the Chargers and the Steelers, I would fear the Chargers more than the Steelers at this
Chargers
point.
Chargers are a far superior team.
You know, the Steelers have lost Willie Parker. You know, the Chargers, I guess, are still relatively healthy. They still got their main guy.
Chargers have had some injuries, but they're a much better team than Pittsburgh. I mean, talent-wise, I don't think it's even close. But I think that they're lacking two major things, and one is mental toughness, and two is coaching. And it's awfully hard to win in the playoffs with just talent.
And I think the defense has come on, and I think that, you know, that is a if there's any sign for the Patriots fans to hook onto that, you know, to add to their confidence, I think it's the play of the defense.
Red zone defense has been huge.
It's been good.
I think that's been...
Well, just giving up points in general.
But what I'm saying is I think that there's been really, you know, teams have been able to run on them a little bit. Tackling has been a constant thorn in Belichick's side. He's talked about it almost every week. You know, we have to get better at tackling. But all of a sudden, in the last three games, they've allowed 9 red zone trips, which is the same as they always allow. But only 2 field goals. No touchdowns, 2 field goals, 7 empty trips. That's amazing.
They've stepped it up. Harold is in North Carolina on the phone. How you doing, Harold?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know,
are you, Harold? I said, how are you, Harold?
I'm doing fine. Just, you know, I had a good Christmas. You know, nothing real special, you know, that, you know, Jesus' birthday or whatever. And, you know, just ate good, basically. Really good.
God bless you.
Huh?
Eating good is good.
Oh, okay. I just called because I listen to you guys every day. Well, you know, every time I have PFW in progress and, you know, the playbook. And I was the one that sent that email asking you, did y'all see the mist?
Did we see what?
And I think y'all said y'all don't see the mist. Y'all don't see movies like that, including the mist.
Oh, the mist? I didn't see the mist.
Oh, yeah, y'all say... I mean, I think it was Fred and I think Powell that said they don't like seeing, you know, scary movies like that.
Not in the theater. I don't like seeing
Andy.
In the theater. I like watching them at home, but I get too scared in the theater.
Well, you know, since I'm down here in the South, you know, I listen to you guys on Patriots.com. I got audio and podcasts, but I don't go to podcasts. I just go to audio and listen to you guys on there. And I have a couple of questions about the playoff. I mean, I'm not looking, you know, on to the future, but, you know, we are in the playoffs, you know, home field advantage. And I just wanted to know, I'm tired of ESPN talking about the biggest trouble would probably be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I remember we played them in the playoffs before, and they haven't beat us. And I just don't see them. I mean, I know they have a running game. I mean, they beat the Steelers bad, but, I mean, we beat them bad, too, and the Steelers kind of came back on them.
Right.
I mean, I don't think Jacksonville I mean, if they think they can run the ball on us, I mean, come on. But I don't think they – I don't
– Yeah.
You know, I'm with the Patriots. I mean – I know they're going to take it all the way.
I mean, you know –
It's going to be
– I think some people point to the age of the linebackers. You know, the Patriots have had success against teams that say they're going to run it on them in the past. This year, you know, they've had a little trouble with, you know, tackling. But the bottom line is, can Jacksonville stop the Patriots' offense? And the answer is no. All right, so maybe Jacksonville racks up 160, 70 yards on the ground. How many points is that going to lead up to? And unless it's over 24, they don't have a chance.
Yeah, because that is right. Because a running game is not going to really give you that many points. I mean, you know, the Patriots can score 40 points in a heartbeat, which I know they probably won't score it on Jacksonville that fast. It'd probably be a close game, like the last time we played them.
Right.
But you know, when it's all said and done, we'll beat them. But
right.
They're not. If they expect to really win, I think they better throw it just as much. You know, they're gonna probably go to play action because I think we'll be set up for the run because we know they're a running team. But
yep.
They think a run against us. I mean, come on, bring it on.
Well, I think if David Garrard wants to drop back and throw it 60-70% of the time, the Patriots would welcome that.
Sure,
I know he better not throw it Asante Samuel's side.
Right.
I think you wanna. He's gonna try it. He's gonna try it there, but he's probably gonna throw it the other side. They like to pick on him.
Yep. All right. Yeah. All right, Harold. We appreciate the call and have a good holiday down there in North Carolina.
Happy New Year, Harold.
You too.
Okay. Thanks. That's Harold from North Carolina.
New caller.
Yeah, that's good.
Were you guys talking about scary movies yesterday?
That was like a week ago. Harold's got a good memory. He's been waiting.
Maybe
for
he's
a while.
Gonna put together a poem for next year.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Speaking of weird things, Matt from Quincy,
where's Matt been?
We all know that the sensation that is sweeping the nation is Cottonelle wipes. Imagine my horror when I walked down into my basement and found the bathroom flooded with what appeared to be raw sewage. When I asked the plumber, $500 later, about it, he said that clogged drains have become a bigger problem in the last few years. The reason, he said, people seem to be using a lot more of those stupid wet wipes. He said they clump inside the pipes, and it's only a matter of time when they will clog a drain, and a plunger will not unclog it.
Wow.
Hard way to learn a lesson. When our time comes, it won't be the terrorists that get us. It will be faulty plumbing. On a lighter note, I would like each of you to pick the player who will become the 22nd player to score a TD for the Pats this year. The catch is that you all have to pick a different player. Troy Brown is obvious, but my choice is Kelly Washington.
So, Kelly Washington. What do you got, Fred? I'm going to go Rodney Harrison.
Rodney Harrison, huh? So you're going with a defensive guy?
Yeah.
Eccles scored already, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Troy Brown.
Well, Troy Brown is the obvious pick. That's what he said. Harrison's a good one.
You know who would be a good out-of-the-box one? Steven Spock.
I'm going to pick Vince Wilfork.
Imagine if he scores.
Vince Wilfork picks up a ball and rumbles 5 yards.
Yeah, I think a defensive player is probably, at this point, might have a better chance.
Jason is calling from Chiba. Jason, how you doing?
Not bad, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Jason.
I'm actually not calling from Chiba. I'm home for the holidays. So
oh, where's Jason home?
In Keene, New Hampshire right now.
All right. Nice. You know Jim Fennell?
Not by name.
He's from Keene. He writes for the Manchester Union Leader now. He wrote for the Keene Sentinel for many, many years.
He broke a major, major story a couple years back when George O'Leary was named coach of Notre Dame about the whole lying on his resume thing. You might have remembered that.
I do remember that.
And
I don't
that was Jim Fennell who broke that story.
That's right.
So I just wanted to call and update you. I got stuff for you guys.
Stuff?
I mean, I still got lunch tomorrow, but
oh, wow.
Hey, excellent.
Well, don't do it tomorrow because we're on our way to New York.
Oh, that's right. You can get it to us.
Do it.
You got about 50 minutes. Yeah, no, tomorrow we are not going to be here. We're going to be traveling.
You're not going to be there?
No, we're on our way to New York tomorrow.
Suffer and succotash.
Yeah.
We leave tomorrow afternoon.
My ability to do it is limited by the amount of time that I'm in.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's the thought that counts.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
But I got some gifts for you guys. I can't come down. I don't know if Gary passed that on. I can't actually come down like I was saying I could.
Oh.
That's a long trip from Keene, New Hampshire.
It is a longer trip. I got friends down there and I wanted to do some shopping for my girlfriend. But there's no driving. my license was
suspended.
What does that happen?
Revoked?
No. Expired.
Oh, expired. Okay.
I've been in Japan for a year and a half. So.
Okay, so there's no story behind it, like, you know, something happened or anything like that.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a car.
Well, that would help. Even if you had a license, if you don't have a car, that doesn't do you much good.
That's true.
Well, I could borrow a car, but
you could.
But either way, you guys won't be seeing me, but you will be seeing your alcohol. As I promised earlier, if you guys would remember where I come from, I'll send you guys a bottle of Suntory whiskey.
Ah, so okay.
You can pat Andy on the head for me.
Great. It's more like thump.
Anyway, I don't really got any football stuff, so I'll let you guys go.
All right. Well, Jason, we appreciate you calling in. It's good to put a voice with the emails.
And that's a nice gesture on your part. We appreciate it, even though you can't make it down.
No problem.
Okay.
Well,
have a good trip back.
Tour some other day.
All right.
All right. Later.
Jason from Chiba, Japan, who's in Keene, New Hampshire for the holidays. It's a long flight.
Oof.
It's a long flight. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at patriots.com. Let's see. The leg should be here pretty soon.
The leg will be here shortly, I would imagine. We got time for a break so I can get a bag of chips.
Oh, you want to take a break?
Another bag of chips.
Mini Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and
hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, talking all things Patriots at 2 o'clock. Until 2 o'clock, we're doing our picks pretty soon, as soon as the leg gets here. Tom has emailed in his picks. Andy, of course, neglects his duties once again. So
we'll get his picks.
We'll get it in before.
I think he's been mathematically eliminated anyway.
Yeah. Is there a game tonight? Thursday night game? There isn't? Okay. All right, let's see. Mike in Coventry, the email address is webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Mike says, I think this weekend's matchup against the Giants is a great tune-up for the Pats going into the playoffs. It will be good for them to play a playoff team on the road with nothing significant to be lost if they don't pull out a win. After a lackluster performance against the Jets and a non-existent offense in the second half against Miami, I'd love to see them get a big win, whether the Giants play starters for most of the game or not. I think a hard-fought game is just what the doctor ordered going into the bye week before facing a tough AFC playoff opponent, because we all know that would be the worst possible time for them to have a bad game and lose. Also glad the game will now be televised throughout all of New England, so all the Pats can witness this historic game. It's going to be televised all over the country. So I'm amazed at that.
What do you think of the nothing significant to lose portion of that email, Fred?
I think there is something significant to lose.
I do too.
You know, this is big.
It's huge.
16-0.
It's huge. You know me. You always yell at me because I don't seem to get all that jacked up for, you know, these, you know, kind of milestones. Whenever there's like some footnote that you have to look up, and you know, like remember the winning streak when they, you know, to me it was a 21 game winning streak,
right.
not an 18 game winning streak.
And right.
This is something that's never been done. This is legit. There's no asterisk. There's no
right.
You have to look it up and find out who the previous record holder was. I mean, everybody knows unbeaten. It's only happened once. This would be the only time it ever happened with 19 games, 16-game regular season.
Right.
This is huge.
And having said that, though, it's not a perfect season unless they go all the way.
Of course, but you can't go 19-0 until
right.
you win the first 16.
I think that's the point that they try to make in the Patriots locker room.
Right.
Anthony says, why is Lawrence Maroney's nickname Lomo? Wouldn't Lamo, pronounced Lamo, be more appropriate? Oh. Other than the last game, he hasn't done very much. This week's game against the Giants, depending on if the G-men play or not, as well as what he does in the playoffs, are the last chances I am willing to give for him to show if the Dolphins game was the real deal or not. Until then, he will continue to be Lamo to me.
To me, I didn't know anybody ever called him Lomo or whatever.
Well, he says AKA Lomo.
I always see Kool-Aid is what I hear people call
him. That's his big nickname. Mike gives us a description of the worst game he's ever seen.
I love this stuff.
Well, I thought I would tell you guys a story so you may all get a laugh at my expense. Never in my life have I put up with so much crap to watch a football game. My wife and I drove to her parents' house, who live out in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. Needless to say, they do not have cable, a DVD player, and the TV they have is a 19-inch black and white thing from the 80s. I was not too worried, as I was going to head into town to a local bar to watch the game. But on Saturday night, a huge snowstorm came and completely blocked us in. I was hoping things would be cleared out by game time, but of course, the last country road to be plowed was her parents. So here I am, pissed off, trying to watch the game on this crappy TV that the picture barely comes in on. And to top it off, my wife's mom asked me to keep the sound down so she could listen to her National Public Radio show. 4 days total we spent there, one worse than the next. Sounds like one of Tom's adventures.
It does. I thought that was going just like the worst game that he's ever seen kind of thing, but this was just like the the circumstances. Entertaining, nonetheless.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. Dave is in Philippines, and he writes in, just a few weeks ago, it seemed like most of the media was jumping on the Patriots are evil bandwagon, and Bill Belichick was Satan personified. Now,
speaking of Satan personified.
Here's the leg. We'll get right to him as soon as I finish this. Now, here we are, 6 or 7 wins later, with Bill as the Santa Claus on the cover of SI. My, how winning can change attitudes. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone could just accept the fact that he's a flawed human being, like we all are? He's got tremendous strengths as a coach, and he'll do anything he can to help his team win, probably more than he should in at least a few areas. He's not evil, nor is he Santa Claus, but I'm glad he's our coach and not working for the Jets or Browns. Here's hoping he brings us to the promised land of 19-0, and anyone who doesn't like it can take a big asterisk and stick it where the sun don't shine.
God bless you. Who was that?
That's Dave from Philippines. And by the way,
good,
he says,
stuff.
Regarding the question from yesterday, the Philippines is over 7,000 islands, and many of them are some of the most beautiful places on earth, but I don't see many people drinking Coronas here. The local beer is San Miguel, which I'm told is pretty good. I don't drink anymore myself. The last time I got drunk, I met my wife, and I really don't need more than one of those. Sounds like there's a story there.
Yeah. That was speaking of another Tom-like story.
Eric, so, the leg is here. Eric, yeah. What's going on out there in the cold?
You guys have been doing the show together for over an hour and a half, and you're not at each other's
only one minor flare-up.
We got at it for a little
only
bit.
Only one minor flare-up.
Really?
And it was my fault because I allowed him to suck me into an argument that he always allows me to suck
really?
Get sucked into.
Wow. Well, we weren't outside today. Originally scheduled to be out on the field, but the field is covered with a tarp, so we were in the bubble.
I don't think that's preparing properly for where they're going to be playing, Fred. I don't know about that.
I don't know.
It all counts,
but,
Paul.
Bubble practice, the minor news to mention, notable absentees. Nick Kazier was among three players who were not there. Kyle Brady was one of the others, and Kyle Echol, for some reason.
Echol was banged up last game, don't forget.
Well, today was
right,
also
–
today's
right,
Kyle Thursday. Right. Anyone named Kyle didn't have to practice.
Okay.
Yeah. Kyle Mercedes.
I was going to say if Kyle Mercedes not here either.
but Nick Kazier
who would know?
I thought was a notable absentee.
That is a notable absentee because it would be highly unlikely that a guy like him, not his standing, but only third year in the league, you know, be getting one of those days off
or
rests.
Right.
He's got to be dealing with something physical.
Good news, though, in terms of players who haven't been there, Billy Yates was back on the field.
Spiritual brother.
Yep, he's a good man. We like seeing him back. Three players with black shirts. Matt Gutierrez, once again. Tom's boy, Ray Ventrone. And practice squad guy, Antoine Spahn.
Okay.
It was kind of a spirited, lively-looking practice. I mean, not that their practices typically aren't, but for some reason this one was, there's a lot more hooting and hollering during actual drill session. Usually that kind of stuff takes place during
it's
stretching.
Funny how that happens, you know, when you only have one practice a week.
You know? Yeah.
You can get up for it a
guys
little bit
get
better.
Up for it. Yeah, it just felt like there was more energy in the building.
Did you say they were in full pads?
You know what? Some of them were. It was one of those practices where some were full and some were just uppers. So I don't know how much that had to do with it or not, but it just seemed like the guys were, you know, especially after yesterday being a walkthrough. Today they finally got to get out there. You know, it's their only real, like you said, it's their only real full practice this week because, you know, traveling tomorrow there's going to be a walkthrough most likely and, you know, Saturday's the game. So so that's where it is.
Okay.
That's where we stand with practice today.
All right. John in L.A. has a juvenile question for you, Eric. He
Those
says,
are the favorites.
When you say they went inside the bubble today, is that a euphemism? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing to, no. No, John, nice try.
where's Andy when you need him? All right.
Thankfully, he's at home. It's been a lot quieter in the office today, Fred. I don't know if you've noticed.
It's been a very productive day.
It has. I don't know if there's any way you can make that happen more permanently.
I'm sure Andy would love that, but... No, that's not going to happen.
Andy would love that, but Paul wouldn't.
I am a loser.
That's true.
All right. Time to do the picks. And Tom has...
We're going to breeze through them today,
well,
Fred.
Tom
just
sent
the three
his
of
in.
Us. Oh, Thomas, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Did he
Is
send
he
in his
okay?
Did he send in his witty little comments that go along with him?
Nope. Just the picks and the spread. That
that's a good point, Eric.
He's using. So
the spread that he's using.
Well...
boy.
Yeah, well, is Tom buying his own points over there? Half points?
Well, just to recap last week, Freddie.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The winner was Tom at 13-3.
Wow.
Followed by Fred and I at 12-4, and Andy and Eric at 10-6. Now, with the number...
Awful week.
I won the week with the number. I went 10-6. Fred went 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Tom also went 10-6.
Tom went 10-6?
I shared the top spot with Tom, and we both went 10-6. Fred went 9-7. Eric went 6-10. Andy went 5-11. So that leaves the standings thusly.
I'm losing my grip on that number.
Yeah. Eric is still in the lead with the overall picks, but just by a scant game, 160-80. I'm 159-81. Fred's 158-82. So is Tom, 158-82. And then Andy, 153-87. With the number, I have the lead at 122-109-9, followed by Fred, 120-111-9, Eric, 118-113-9, Tom, 116-115-9, and Andy, 110-121-9.
All right.
So Eric, Andy had that little run there where he was getting close to 500.
Yeah.
And then he threw a 5-11 in there, so he's all done.
Okay. Andy's done. Tom's trailing.
And for all of his mocking of you with the way you make your picks, you're right up there here at the end.
Kicking butt. It's that time. This is my time.
See, this week right here is nobody's time.
Oh, this is horrible.
Anybody that even pretends to tell you
right.
Who's going to win these games and who's going to take what seriously.
We'll be lucky to be 500 this week.
Yeah, well, you know, there's just no way of knowing.
Yeah.
Buffalo is at, that was my way of saying, I have the lead right now with the number, so you can disregard anything that happens in the last week.
Right.
Buffalo at Philadelphia is the first game that will start. This one actually might be a reasonably straight-laced game. Both teams should be taking it pretty seriously. 7.5. The Eagles at home, favored by 7.5.
Eagles giving away 7.5.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that both teams are 7-8, if I'm not mistaken. They probably want to win the game to go 8-8 and try to get into next season on a positive note.
I took Philly to win in our paper picks, so I always stick with those. I'm going to take Philly to win. I think I'm going to take Buffalo with this number, though. I like the fact that they haven't really quit, especially when Edwards is in there at quarterback. And, you know, I think they'll fight just enough to maybe keep it to a field goal game or something.
Is this in Philly?
Yes, it is, Fred.
Okay.
What Tom have?
Tom is taking the Eagles to win and the Bills to cover.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm taking Philadelphia both ways. I'm taking them to win and cover.
Okay. I'm going to go that way as well. Eagles both ways. So Tom has a chance to catch up on this one.
We'll just have to have four. Yeah. Got to have four games different. That's all it takes. Carolina is at Tampa in a game that no one has any idea what's going to happen. And the line would indicate as such because the Bucs at home are getting 3 points.
The Bucs are getting three.
There's a lot of strange spreads this week, my friend. Try to keep up.
I'm trying. That's
a weird one.
I cannot. I mean, I'm going to pick Tampa to win the game. I cannot pick them. How can anybody pick Carolina?
You can pick anybody you want.
I know. It's ridiculous. This is one of those red flag games. I'm going to take Tom's spot.
Well, it's not even a red flag game. Tampa's not going to be playing anybody. That's why they have.
I know, but how can you pick Carolina with 85-year-old quarterbacks?
Why would Carolina be playing people?
Because they have a guy that's playing quarterback that's a rookie, and he's going to play.
And even if they play those people haven't been able to win a game all year, barely.
That's weird.
I'm going to go with the Bucs. I'm sorry. I can't take Carolina.
Okay, I am also going to take the Bucs, and for the same reason. I just think Carolina is so bad, they won't be able to beat the Bucs' backups. So I'll take Tampa.
Tom is taking Carolina both ways.
Oh, brave.
And I'm going to take Tampa Bay both ways.
So there's two. We're off and running.
All right.
We have a magical matchup here. Cincinnati at Miami, where the Dolphins will be getting 3 at home.
Mm.
Well, this was one of my upsets for this week. I liked the way Miami played New England last week, particularly in that second half. I liked the fact that they've fought all year, even though they basically have had nothing to fight for. I've always liked when I've seen Cleo Lemon play, the few times I've seen him play, he doesn't
except
give up
last
either.
Week.
Well, I mean, he tried, though. He was trying.
And I think we'll give him that. He did try.
And against a team like Cincinnati, who is you know, one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams this year, I'm gonna give Miami the nod. I'm going to say they're going to win this game outright.
That's a good point, Eric.
You know what? I'm going to take Miami, too. And my fear is that Cincinnati just doesn't show up. Now, if Cincinnati takes the game seriously, I think they win it by 3 touchdowns. But I don't think they will. I think they'll just go through the motions, and I think Miami might win the game. Don't forget, the Dolphins, they're playing for the big tuna.
Well, that's right.
They're trying to impress tuna.
Yeah. He starts work today.
That's another one, too.
And so this is like an audition.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Dolphins both ways as well. Tom is taking the Bengals both ways.
See, this is I think he's looking at he's trying to catch up.
Yeah. Hey, Bengals lose. Win or lose, Marv Lewis, is he done?
He would be in my book, but, you know.
Yeah,
I
agree with you.
I don't know what his contract situation is, and that's a big thing for Mike Brown. If he has a year or two left, he might not want to pay it. You know, I don't know. I don't know what those numbers are. My guess is that he's not that highly paid anyway because he coaches Cincinnati, and they don't pay anybody. But here's another good spread for you, boys. Dallas is at Washington, where the Redskins are favored by 9.
Please.
9 times. He's just leading you down the primrose path.
Yeah. I have to take Dallas to win and cover. I mean, obviously. I know it's week 17. I know that the Redskins have something to play for. The Dallas doesn't, but I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Well, I'm going to take the Redskins to win the game, but I'm going to take the points, and the Cowboys to keep it closer than 9,
and that's what Tom is doing as well. Redskins to win, Cowboys get the points, and I'm going to do the same thing.
That was nice of you not to go opposite all the picks.
Well,
on purpose.
I'm not. I didn't do it on purpose before. I'm picking what I actually think.
Okay. Did you tell Eric your Chick-fil-A story?
Well, no. I just. You know,
talking about Chick-fil-A yesterday on the show.
He can't figure it out.
I've never been to a Chick-fil-A.
Neither have I.
Now, I understand they serve chicken.
That's their main.
And on the
menu
commercials,
item,
they have the cow saying, "Eat more chicken."
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
He can't figure it out.
So the story here is, Fred, the cows, who normally steak is the big product that you get when you go out to eat, right? You're a big steak eater, right?
I like beef.
Right. Beef, steak. Those all come from cows. All come from cows. So Chick-fil-A, being a chicken place that serves a lot of chicken, the cows are all in favor of that because they don't want to be killed to be eaten for their beef. So they're saying, yeah, go to Chick-fil-A,
Eric,
eat more
don't
chicken.
Even, Eric, save your breath. The emailers are just killing him. He can't figure it out. It's like, you know, Daniel Stern in City Slickers.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get it. He'll never get it. Just move on.
But
he won't get it.
If Chick-fil-A is really good and a lot of people go there, shouldn't the chickens be on TV saying, go eat beef because you're all eating us?
Mini Gary like that one. I'm at a loss.
I can't help you if you're at this. You know, if you're at this point.
It's the whole thing is, you know, you protest too much. The cows are protesting too much, so now I'm worried I'm missing something if I eat the chicken.
Yeah, I think you're getting too cerebral with it, Fred.
Okay. Anyway, let's keep on going here.
All right, Fred. Detroit is at Green Bay, where the Packers are giving 3.5.
3.5.
3.5-point favorites at Lambeau Field.
I will take Green Bay to win and to cover, even though they have the number 2 seed locked up. I don't like the way Detroit plays on the road, and especially in Green Bay. That's going to be a tough matchup. You know, especially after Green Bay went in the tank last week to Chicago, I think Favre's going to take that a little personally and try to take it out on Detroit.
Fred, this is an example of what I was talking about with our tired argument that we have every year at this time. If I'm Green Bay, I'm playing everybody because I don't want to go into the postseason with another bad performance, whether it was my starters or my backups or whoever. Now, no one that's injured that is 50-50 is going to play, but if Brett Favre's okay, He's playing. Right. And I want my receivers out there. I want to get that taste out of my mouth of what happened last week in Chicago.
Okay.
I don't want to go with two bad performances into the playoffs. I want to try to get some semblance of a, you know, a consistency going.
Right.
And I am going to take – I agree with Eric. I think they will do that. And I will take Green Bay to win and cover.
Okay. Tom is taking the Packers to win but the Lions to cover. I am going to go both ways with the Packers.
Dun, 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 dun. Go, Pack, go.
Okay, so we have it. There's four games different right there. We could have a tie.
We could.
Tom could catch me.
He could.
It's possible.
And I noticed in the paper picks, just as an aside, I'm up four games. The closest one is Andy with four games, and he's got four different
picks.
I'm
the closest one to you.
Yeah, but you don't have three picks.
You just copied my picks.
I give you my picks before you make yours. What are
That's
you talking
your story.
About?
I make my picks on Friday.
You don't show them to me. I email them to you after the game.
They're on the sheet, and that's what you do.
I listen to this guy.
Anyway, Jacksonville is at Houston, and the Texans are favored by 6.5 over the Jags. Mm.
See, I don't like what they're doing. Jacksonville, I got to take Jacksonville both ways. They're getting ready for a playoff game next week. I don't think they want to go in with a losing skid either. Garrard's playing well. Taylor's running well. I got to pick Jacksonville, especially since the Texans aren't in the hunt now for that final playoff spot.
I can't imagine Taylor's going to be running well, though, right? He can't be playing.
Well, he might not be playing, but, too, you know, Jones-Drew is a no. Yeah. I got to go with Jacksonville both ways here. If Houston were fighting for that final playoff spot, I might think differently. But
what's their record?
Who?
Jacksonville?
Houston. Are they 7-8?
Oh, I don't know.
8-7.
They're 8-7.
Houston's 8-7?
Yeah.
Houston. So win and cover.
Wow. Tom's taking the Jaguars.
No, they're 7-8. My bad.
7-8.
Oh, yes.
You know how much I hate. You know how much I hate scribbling out my picks.
But still, they want to get to 8-8.
I know, but it's not as big a deal. Winning season is big.
They've never had a 500 season.
I'm going to take Houston to win. I'll stick with my pick. Houston to win and cover. Jacksonville for Tom.
Both ways, and also myself. Jaguars both ways.
Okay. Let's see. Moving on, we have New Orleans at Chicago, where the Bears are favored by 2.
At Chicago, you said, right?
That's correct.
I'll go with Chicago both ways. The Saints are a pathetic excuse of a team, what they've done this year. I can't believe. I actually picked them to be in the Super Bowl. What a mistake.
Did the Bears use it all up last week
against in that big win over Green Bay?
Yeah.
You know, that might have been their best game of the year, but I think I just don't think the Saints will be good enough to overcome even as bad as Chicago is. I think
Tom might think he's taking the Saints both ways.
Mm. I am taking New Orleans as well. I think they have playoffs to fight for, and Chicago doesn't, and Kyle Orton will be playing, so if they don't block four punts this week, I think they'll be in trouble.
Yeah, what's the Saints' situation? They need
Washington and Minnesota to lose.
To lose, yeah.
But they have to win.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to go with the Saints in this game, even though it's in Chicago.
Okay, all right. Next game is Pittsburgh at Baltimore,
where
the Ravens looking to close the season with 10 straight losses. And they are getting 3.5.
The Ravens are getting 3.5.
I said, Nick.
I'll take Pittsburgh to win outright and with the number. Can't pick the Ravens, I'm sorry.
I also would be taking the Steelers, and it's more of an indictment on Baltimore.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So is Tom. Steelers both ways, and so am I. Steelers both ways.
All right. What do we got left here? Seattle is at Atlanta.
Whew.
Another great game. Atlanta favored by 3.
Please.
Eric, I'm not happy
with these spreads this week. I will take Seattle to win outright.
Tough one, huh?
Yeah.
That's these
tough ones.
Spreads.
I don't know. You don't know who's going to play.
Right.
You don't know who's going to play hard. You don't know who's going to be in there for how long. I'll take Seattle. I just think Atlanta, even against backups, might be in trouble right now.
Tom has taken the Falcons both ways.
He's just trying to catch up with you. He's trying to make weird picks.
See, I don't.
I'm going to take Seattle both ways.
I think that that's not a, I mean, they're favored. I mean, Vegas isn't in the business of losing money.
No, but, I mean, they're saying that a lot of teams are going to tank it this
week. Yes.
You know, if Hasselbeck doesn't play, then
let me tell you something.
Team.
The Patriots spread would be a heck of a lot different if they weren't going for, if they were 14-1 instead of 15-0, that spread would be a lot different.
Yeah.
I don't think they wouldn't be favored, though.
They might be favored,
but that's because they're playing against another team that's doing the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that would happen. I mean, that the Patriots would go out that way at 14-1. Look what they did with San Francisco a couple of years ago.
They rested everybody in the second half.
In the second half, but they started off the game and got their lead first.
And they certainly wouldn't. They wouldn't have covered the spread. 21-7.
14.5. Yeah. Well, maybe.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out who, you know, it's not just hard to figure out like who Seattle's going to play, but how does Atlanta take the game? Is Atlanta just playing out the string or do they put together an effort? I don't know.
That's what I think is
weird
about
this. That's why I took Seattle is I think Atlanta is, you know, mailed it in for 10
Atlanta,
weeks.
This is their last game of the year.
Yeah.
This is how they're going to be remembered.
Well, they're going to be remembered
for
what happened with Michael Vick.
This is their last game. This is, you know, but for the Seahawks, obviously, there's another week after
this.
But
see, that's why I think Vegas is overestimating these spreads, thinking that the teams that are in the playoffs that are going to tank it are going to play a team that isn't going to tank it because it's their last game. I think those teams just can't wait to get their season over with, too.
The two games I agree with you wholeheartedly on with that would be Carolina, Tampa, and this one, Seattle, Atlanta. I think that even if the other team doesn't play their players, what have you seen over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks that would lead you to believe the other team is going to have enough pride to play against backups and beat them?
Nothing.
Anyway, it's a fun week for that stuff. It's tough. It's tough to try to get a gauge on it. San Francisco is at Cleveland, where this stuff isn't really in play because Cleveland is obviously fighting for a playoff spot.
Yep.
Browns are favored by 10 at home.
I'll take them to win. And I'll take them with that number. I think at home they're going to be good. I think they're going to get that final playoff spot. And I know there's some trickiness with if Tennessee wins that they have a,
they're out. If Tennessee wins, they're out. If Tennessee wins, done.
Who's done?
Cleveland.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But I think
Cleveland plays first because
Cleveland does play
first,
and I think they're just going to. I don't know. I think Romeo's going to get them psyched enough to win this game, no matter what happens with the Tennessee game. So I like them to win and cover.
Yeah,
San Francisco's nothing to play for.
I like Cleveland too. Yeah, I think they had a terrible performance, unfortunately, last week. Derek Anderson was awful. 4 picks.
Yeah, he'll go bounce back.
I think he needs to bounce back, and they find a way to do that at home.
And plus,
even if they go 10-6 and they don't make the playoffs, it's disappointing because they had it right there for them. But 10-6 is a good year.
Yeah,
that's a good season for a rebuilding team.
Absolutely. Yep. And San Francisco's got to boost that draft pick for New England, so they can't keep winning games. They got to start losing.
Tom is taking the Browns to win. The 49ers to cover with 10 points.
Yeah, he doesn't like that 10-point number.
I'll do the same thing. That's a big number.
Okay, that brings us to Tennessee at Indy, the other half of that 6-seed playoff picture. Mm. The Colts are at home, but getting 6.5.
Wow.
I'll take the Colts to win outright. I mean, even if they're resting players, I know Tennessee has a tendency to play them tough, even at the Dome, but I don't think Indy's going to be one of those teams that wants to go into the playoffs having lost a game at the end there.
I know, but
I know Tennessee does have something to play for. Obviously, you said they win, they're in, but I don't know. I think the Colts defense will do enough to, and plus Vince Young hasn't shown me that he's a playoff worthy quarterback. I'm sorry. So I got to take the Colts.
I'll take Tennessee. I just think that Dungy's, you know, seems to have his pattern set that he's not going to take these games. He's not going to play these games really to win when they don't mean anything. And I think Tennessee obviously has everything in the world to play for. But again, it's a crapshoot. Who knows? I got Tennessee.
Tom's taking Tennessee both ways. I just think that, you know, they've already said that there's 11 guys that they're going to be sitting because of whatever reasons, injuries. And Tennessee is going to be playing hard. You know, they got to win. So I got to go with the Titans. You know?
On the road, even.
Yeah.
No, I can't do it.
Minnesota at Denver. Broncos getting 3.
Mm.
I will take Minnesota both ways. I think the Denver has shown me that they're one of those give-up teams. Shanahan might be coaching his last game there. Who knows? Minnesota has something to fight for. They're trying to get in the playoffs, and they're playing an awful Broncos team. I got to go with that. Mm-hmm. Got to go with Minnesota both ways.
Yeah, if this was about 3 weeks ago, I would take Denver because of the old NFC, AFC, mm-hmm. NFC thing, but now I think Denver is just completely out of gas and playing out the string, and Minnesota does have something to play for. So I'll take the Vikings. I'm not feeling real good about it, though, and especially after that performance I watched Sunday night.
Yep. Tom, same way, so am I. Vikings both ways.
All right. Next up is San Diego, Fred, at Oakland, where the Chargers are favored by 8.
I'll take the Chargers to win, and with the number, that Raiders team is awful. San Diego is trying to turn things around. I think they've gotten things turned around miraculously under North Turner.
Yeah.
And so I think they're playing good football right now, and I think they're ready for their, you know, they're getting primed for the playoffs. I think they're ready to go. I think they'll win by 10 or more.
Yeah, I lay the points here because I think that even if the Chargers rest guys like I would expect them to, you know, Michael Turner and Darren Sproles and those guys can come in and run the ball pretty effectively against a bad Raiders defense, and I think they will find a way to cover even if they don't have the starters out there. So, yeah, I agree with Eric. I'll take the Chargers.
Tom is calling this his game of the year, part two. Bet the Chargers and pay off your credit cards from Christmas. Chargers both ways for Tom. Chargers both ways for me.
I wonder if this will be his first win in his game of the year.
Yeah.
You have the Chargers both sides,
yep.
Buddy? All right.
I got to say, I take a pounding.
St. Louis at Arizona, in fairness, because I know Tom, he'll probably be listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
He did have his game of the year was Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland, right.
Cleveland,
right,
Buffalo,
right.
And he won 8-0.
Yes, he did.
So he did win the game.
Yep.
St. Louis at Arizona, where the Cardinals are favored by 6.
Can't they just make this a push? Oh, my God. What's that number again, Paul? I'm sorry.
6.
Six.
I'll take six. Arizona to win. Mm-hmm. Take them both ways. I mean, what can you say about these games? There's so many terrible games.
Yeah.
I had high hopes for Arizona this year, too.
I'll split it down the middle. I'll say Arizona to win, St. Louis to cover.
Yeah, that's the way I'm going. That's the way Tom's going.
I mean, I really not a lot to base that on. But.
Yep.
All right, where are we here, Freddie?
Jets.
Kansas City at the Jets in a
the
game
Herm
that
Edwards
was
Bowl.
In a game that was originally scheduled to be the primetime game on NBC.
Herm Edwards returns. Oh no, this is in Kansas City.
This is at the Jets.
Oh, it's at the Jets. Okay.
And the Jets
two
are
days in a row.
They're turning it around.
Yeah.
They're taking off the blue, putting on the green on for Sunday.
Jets are favored by 6.
Boy, I'll take the Jets to win the game. And you know what? The hell with it. I'll take them to cover, too. Chiefs. What a joke.
I'll take the Jets, too.
Even though Pennington's been playing, I'll take them.
Yep. Jets as well. And so, Tom, both ways.
And you know how you were knocking me the other day when I submitted my picks. You're saying, oh, you always send me my picks out of order and everything. You just went down the whole sheet exactly the way I had them given to you. I don't know what you were complaining about.
I did this out of the paper, out of the Herald. It's not the way that we do it on our paper.
No, but the schedule that we made up in PFW has these games in that order. The schedule that comes out back in April, you know, when we in the April
issue.
All
I'm telling you is how they appear on the picks page is not how they appear in your
picks. Why would they appear differently on the picks page than they did in our own schedule?
I don't know. I don't have anything to do with that.
Okay.
Anyway, we have come to the end.
You're only
end
the editor,
here.
So you know that's why I figured I'd ask.
Wow,
I'm not the graphic designer.
Playing the role of Andy Hart in Andy Hart's chair today.
Yeah, would I didn't hear me. You. I didn't hear you laugh before you said anything.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
you're supposed to laugh at yourself as you talk. Drunk.
You're only an editor.
Ireland. What are you, drunk? What are you, potatoes?
I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
I don't even know what that one's from. Anyway, Fred, we've come to the end here.
Patriots
at the New York Football Giants, favored by 14 and a half.
Ooh, Tom's got 13 and a half.
Well, it's 14 and a half.
So, all right, he's got to take your number.
That's the Herald number. That's the number we go by.
All right.
Obviously, I'm going to take New England to win the game. And, you know, weather forecast update, Fred. I heard this morning rain showers predicted for East Rutherford in the morning, clearing by the afternoon and the night. It's going to be seasonable temps. So that's good news for the Pats.
Bad news for the Giants.
Dude. Thanks, Mini Gary.
Yep.
So I think that's good news for the Pats. I'm gonna go with them.
He's a funny little bastard.
Isn't he? another BU clan. Three to one BU in here today, Fred.
Well, I'm Emerson. I'll represent Emerson here.
I'm still Boston area.
We have a better baseball team.
So I'll take New England to cover. I think they'll win by 17.
You will?
Yes,
you're gonna take the Patriots to cover.
I will.
Go figure.
For only the 14th time this year.
All right, I have the Patriots as well. Which means they won't cover because I'm 0 for my last 5 picking the Patriots by the number.
All right, and I'm going to go with the Patriots both ways.
Yep, good man, Fred. What about Tom? What's he got?
Tom has Patriots both ways. But he has 13.5, but he's got to suck it up and take 14.
Yeah, he's got to.
I don't think he would change anyway because
based
on the way he's talked all week, it doesn't matter if the Giants are playing their starters or not or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I just think the Patriots this close – to immortality.
Yeah.
Do not.
They're not going to tank it.
No. Do not stub their toe.
All right. So that's it. We got our picks in. And we'll
just
see
in the nick
happens.
Of time.
You only got 10 minutes left in the show.
Oh, we got emails too. We got to get to. So webradio@patriots.com. John in Salem has a true or false for us. You ready?
All right. Excellent. True.
Pats will beat the Giants.
True.
Brady will break Manning's record.
True.
Moss will break Rice's record.
True.
Welcome.
I'm going to go false on breaking it. I think he ties. I think he gets one. I think he gets one. I'm going to go false on
that.
Okay.
All right.
Welker will break Troy Brown's record.
True.
Rodney will sack Eli.
I don't know. True.
False.
Seymour will sack Eli.
True.
False.
Ty Warren will sack Eli.
False.
A train will sack Eli. I don't know what that means.
I thought you were
just
saying
it. Be funny.
Do we have anybody on our team named A-Train?
No.
No? Okay. He means literally then a train will sack Eli. Vrabel will sack Eli.
Oh, my
True.
God.
Broadcast team will bring up Spygate.
True.
Oh, yeah. Matt Light will leg whip someone.
False.
Paul doesn't like these.
I really liked it at the beginning. Now we've kind of veered off course.
Stallworth will get a ball thrown to him.
True.
True.
Yeah.
Asante will pick off Eli.
True. He hasn't had one in a while.
Rodney will pick off Eli.
False.
There will be a kick or punt return for a TD.
False.
I'll say true.
Okay. Eli will further develop the what, who, when look on his face like his brother.
I don't think he'll be in long enough to do that, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm not buying Tom Coughlin's. We're going to play to win this game. I think he's going to make a half-ass effort by putting his starters out there, and as soon as New England gets a 2-touchdown lead or a 17-point lead, out they come. And then he can say, "Oh, hey, I had my starters in there."
Okay, so now what happens if the Giants get a 2-touchdown lead from some quirky thing?
From some weird thing.
He keeps them in?
No.
Tries to go for history?
No, because I think New England keeps their starters in.
I don't think Coughlin
would want to get into a punching match.
Oh man, I think everybody would be ripped at him if he had a 2-touchdown lead.
I don't think he would.
And all
do
of a
it.
Sudden he took his starters out, and the Patriots came back and won. He'd be vilified. You had a chance to beat them, and you didn't.
He's going
to
be vilified anyway. I think this is his last year in New York anyway. I think they're going to lose their first round
game. If I'm Tom Coughlin, and I'm not trying to be smug, I could care less what anyone thinks. I mean, I think you have to do whatever it is that you think is in the best interest of your team. I steal Bill's line because I think it's the right one.
I know, but if you were to go into the playoffs having just beaten the Patriots, what momentum going into the playoffs?
I don't know if that.
Why?
I mean,
it gives you all this confidence. We beat the best team in the league. We can win the Super Bowl.
So you can't just get a lead and then take you guys out and say, we just played the best team in the league and had them on the ropes.
It's not as much as winning the game. You know, all out.
I think Coughlin's making a symbolic effort by saying his starters are going to play and they're playing to win. I think they're just going to get in there, and as soon as they start to get out of control with the lead, they're going to come out.
Peyton will cry when Brady breaks his record.
False.
No.
Hank Payton will be.
Eli will cry because that's what he does. So that's, you know.
I've been meaning to actually talk to Brady and trying to get him off to the side to see if he's heard at all from Manning lately. Because they talk a lot. Yeah. They're pretty good friends.
No, I think Manning said the right thing. He says he hopes he's as classy when Brady breaks his record
as Manning was when Marino was, right?
Yeah,
I saw that quote and I thought that, you know, even though some of those things are contrived and you don't, might not know if that guy really thinks that, I thought that was a nice thing to say.
Wes from Richard, Virginia, in your opinion, who has benefited more from their counterpart? Are Moss's numbers a product of Brady or are Brady's numbers a product of having Moss? Is this a symbiotic relationship where they both need each other?
Yes.
Well, yes, they do, but if you look at Moss's history, he has put up such numbers with less than Tom Brady-like quarterbacks, namely Dante Culpepper.
This is not an otherworldly season for Randy Moss.
Right.
Now, it's his best year.
Definitely.
Right. But he's had similar years.
Right.
This is far and away Brady's best year.
Right.
So
I have to say it's better for Brady.
I do think it's a symbiotic thing to steal the email's word.
Absolutely.
But I do think that Eric's right. I think that we have seen Moss do this in the past. We have not seen Brady do it.
Also, with the lack of production from the other receivers the last few weeks and the criticism Brady has been keying on Moss all season, could Moss legitimately be the MVP and not Brady?
Not sure.
I mean, yeah, it's possible. It's definitely possible. I would say that Brady will get more of the votes, especially if he breaks that record, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if Moss were to get it. Because you look at, you know, what's the difference between this team and last year's team, and the obvious answer is better wide receiving corps led by Moss. So, you know, you can make the argument both ways. I don't think it's a shock
either way. I'd be interested, you know, if Belichick would ever open up and, you know, tell you exactly what's going on. What impact truly has Adalys Thomas had on this defense? Because we all thought, you know, he'd come in and he'd be making these plays and he'd be just a force. And maybe he has been, but we just don't know. But it doesn't seem to me like he's been like the difference maker we thought he'd be when they signed him.
Well, he started out that way. You know, remember that? Everybody remembers that big interception.
Right.
But, you know, I think quietly he's done it because...
Well, that's what I don't know.
Especially if you look at that. Especially if you look at what happened when Rosie Colvin went out. You know, now, so, you know, he was... Thomas was rotating in that three-man inside crew with Bruschi and Seau. And you had, you know, you had Vrabel and Colvin on the outsides. Colvin goes out, they seamlessly put Thomas over there on the outside, and you know that they're obviously relying on the two old guys in the middle to keep it up, but I mean, how many other teams could do that? Could just switch one guy from position to there and not have any
Well, I mean, the Patriots have done it before with Vrabel, you know, so that's kind of expected among, you know, Patriots players to be able to, you know, contribute in different positions. But I just like to know, really, what effect has Adalys Thomas had? What are the things that we don't see watching TV that he's been doing or not doing that have made a difference?
I've seen him a lot dropping back into pass coverage, you know, covering other teams like stud tight ends or even their running backs, you know, which, you know, Vrabel probably could do that too. But, I mean, you get a guy as athletic and a little bit younger than Vrabel, you know, I think he has made a good difference. He hasn't had, you know, spectacular plays like that interception he had against San Diego. You know, he's had a few sacks. You know, he's. I think he's been worth the investment.
Okay. Paul?
I've been disappointed.
Disappointed. Wow. Not worth the money.
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I just said I've been disappointed. I thought he would make more big plays than I've seen.
But has he been worth the money?
Sure. I don't think he makes that much money.
Sure, absolutely.
I think they signed him to a very good contract.
Now, what if, Paul, what if in the playoffs he has, like, two or three games like that San Diego
then
game.
I would have said, well, see, the San Diego game, he made an interception, and everybody
kind of got
all
excited
about it. All
right, I'm keying on that. But, I mean, what if he has two or three games like you would expect him to?
Then I would say that's what I was looking for all year.
So there's still time.
No, but my point is not that I think they shouldn't have done this or that I don't think he's overpaid. I think, first of all, his contract's not that exorbitant. I think they signed him to a very good deal for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that they wasted their money or wasted their time. They shouldn't have been interested in this guy. He's been solid. Solid. I thought he was going to be otherworldly. Maybe it's my fault for having expectations that were too high. I don't think he's played badly.
Yeah.
I
think a lot of people...
I think people hear you say, like, I've been disappointed. Well, it's like Monty Beisel and Chad Brown. No.
No, not that. No. God, no.
This guy has been a top-notch starter from day one.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people bought into that hype about him playing 8 million positions on defense, and they were thinking he was going to do all this stuff, playing safety and cornerback and stuff.
Right, you just thought he'd be a disruptive force on defense.
That's like what I thought. Taylor. Not so much. Right. See, I thought it was kind of overrated, like the position stuff per se. You know, this whole cornerback safety thing. But I thought that I called him the Randy Moss of the defense, and I thought we were going to get to see. You know, he's going to have 3 sacks one game. The next game, we might see like 2 pass deflections and a pick. The next game, you might see a huge hit over the middle on a tight end causing a fumble. And I haven't seen a lot of those big plays. I'm sure he's made a ton of solid football plays this year.
And you know,
because he's a solid football player.
A lot of that probably is a product of the fact that he's played most of the season inside.
Right.
You know, he's not been free
to roam
around all over the place.
That's why I've been disappointed. That's why I'm saying it. This is not because I think the guy stinks. I've been disappointed because I thought he could be a much bigger impact playing all over the place.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Again, tomorrow we'll repeat today's show, I guess, or something. I don't know. They'll do something, but we're traveling.
Mini Gary will take the mic, and he'll freelance a little, freestyle.
John Rook is up. Game's on Saturday night. Patriots Monday on Monday. We'll see you next Tuesday.